Amen. God's on the move. Amen. Let's give him some praise today. Yes. Well, before you're seated, look at someone, smile, give them a thumbs up. If you're watching online, say hi to somebody in the comments. We love you. Happy Father's Day to all you amazing fathers out there. We truly love and appreciate every single one of you. And you're going to hear an amazing message in just a few moments on what a father is. I want to read to you out of Deuteronomy 31 today. We're going to pick up in chapter 31, like I said, and we pick up the story where Moses is actually on his way out of life. So he's near the end of his life. And if you know the story at all, Moses, they were in the desert with the Israelites for 40 years. And it was said that Moses wasn't going to be able to enter the promised land. If you want to know why, you can read the story. It's very interesting. So he is on the end of his life, and he's talking to the Israelites right now. So in verse 6, he's talking to the people of Israel. And then in verse 8, he's actually talking to Joshua, who will lead the Israelites into the promised land. And this is what he says to them. He says to the people of Israel first, "So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you." And then he says to Joshua, he actually looks at Joshua and he says the same exact thing. So I'm going to read it all over again. And it's in verse 8. So 6 and 8 are basically the same thing. He says to Joshua, he says, "Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you." And I just love that, because whatever it is that we are going through, no matter how long we've had to wait, 40 years they were waiting, 40 years. So no matter how long we have to wait or had to wait, we can know and trust that God will lead us, that he will never leave us or abandon us or fail us, that God has our very best interest in mind, and he will never fail us. And we can know that we can put our trust in him, because he's never going to change. He still is for us. He's never going to let us down. The Bible says, "I, the Lord, our God, does not change." He's not going to change. So but he didn't let the Israelites down, and he's not going to let us down either. And because of that, we can put our trust in him. We can put our faith in him. We can lean on every word that he says, because sometimes people sometimes let us down. Sometimes they like us one day, the next they don't. Sometimes they're up, sometimes they're down. And that's just human life sometimes. But God, he's not like that. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to abandon us. He's never going to fail us. And we can trust in that fact that God is God. And he has our best interest in mind. Amen. When you trust in God, you will never be disappointed. I can promise you that. When you trust in him, you'll never be disappointed. And on that, let's give to God. Let's trust him with our finances. There's different ways that you can give. You can text the City Church NY to the number 77977. You can give with an envelope. If you're in-house, it's in the seat back behind you. If you're at home, you can send it to 210 East Main Street in Batavia. You can download the PushPay app on your smartphone. It's really easy to give that way. Or you can go online at thecitychurch.com. Also, if you're here on your way out, there's two mailboxes that say give on them. If you would put your offering and your tithe in that on your way out as well. Let's pray together. God, I thank you so much for this moment. I thank you for being God and that you do not change. I thank you, God, that you will never leave us. You will never abandon us, God. And I thank you that we can trust you in all times and all circumstances. I pray that, God, as we give to you, you bless each person. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hey, how many of you heard Pastor Aaron Thursday night? Come on. These young bucks have been just doing an amazing job. What was that? Oh, a young doe. Sorry. My mistake. All right. I stand to be corrected. Anyways, these young pastors have been doing an extraordinary job bringing the gospel message. How many of you appreciate them? So glad that all of you are here today. And for those of you that are watching at home, we love you. We thank God for you. We're so happy to see many of you here today. For those that are home, you just still don't feel comfortable. 100%, we honor, we love you, and we believe God with you for the best in every area of your life. If we can do something, if you need prayer for something, you don't see me, or if you're here today, you can write on that Connect card and drop it in one of those mailboxes in the back there, the white boxes where you drop in your offering. If you need prayer, write that on there, drop it in there. I'll be sure to get that. If you want to send me an email, I had somebody get a hold of me this week. They said they've been trying to email me, and it kept on coming back. It's just simply the letters PM, PM at thecitychurch.com. Pray for you, believe God with you, and watch him do something great. Again, as Aaron had mentioned earlier, we're trying to update our church directory. We don't want to bother you. We don't want to inundate you with a lot of information, but we want your information because I want to send you a note if I don't see you. Text the word connect to 585-487-8100. Just do that. Now, I know some of you think, oh, they got my address. Maybe not. So if you would just do that, that would just be awesome. I also told everybody in the first service, engage with a comment today. Tell us where you're from. And we got some people that said they were from Arkansas this morning that are watching. Come on, let's give it up for Arkansas today. Can we do that? I just want to mention this just for a moment about dads today. We honor you. Young dads, older dads, grandpas, we love you. We thank God for you. You're important. You change the world. You'll hear this morning, be reminded of some statistics about the influence and the effect that dads have in and over your life. Dads in my life, you know, if you've heard me, you know that my dad was gone from my life at a young age. And when he was in my life, he was incredibly abusive. And I have discovered over time that when I was younger, my outlook on any father was very negative because my dad modeled something completely different to me. And it took a transformation in my life, first of accepting Christ as my Savior and knowing that my Father in heaven loved me incredibly, cared for me, provided for me, has a great plan for me continually to this day. And that all dads, because of the negative experience that I had, are not bad. Some of you need to hear that this morning, because to this day, and people that have heard this over and over and over, I hear things like, I could never trust a father. I could never trust a man. And God wants to help you with that in a profound way. The Bible says in Psalm 68:5 that he is a father to the fatherless. I clung to that when I first gave my life to Christ and I read that verse. I clung to that. He is a father to the fatherless. I thought, does that mean God in heaven is my father because I am fatherless at 13 years old? 11 years old, my dad out of my life, and before that, very abusive. And I never knew what it was like to have a dad. But when I read that, and I thought, God said he'll be a father to fatherless. Come on today. Are you listening to me? He'll be a father to the fatherless. And he throws this in there. He's a protector of widows. Is God in his holy habitation? What beautiful news that is to everybody. Today, that you can know that no matter what your upbringing or what you've been exposed to, that he loves you and he cares for you and he has a great plan for your life. I just want to share this before Ryan comes up. The dads in my life and what I learned from them. My one dad, a father in my life, was my father-in-law. He taught me how to work and he taught me to love his home, his family, and his home. And that has always meant so very much to me. My pastor, Pastor Ron Domina, taught me how I can serve the Lord and I can serve my family at the same time. My hero, my mentor, a pastor in my life, Pastor Tommy Barnett, he taught me that I could dream big dreams and take my family with me on that journey. To model not only being a pastor, but being a father. That serving God didn't have to be one or the other. That it's not that it can be, that it is to be both, to be doing life together with our families, with our homes. Dads, every dad in here today, every dad that is watching, we love you, we honor you, we thank God for you. The best is yet to come in your life. Come on, can you welcome my son, Pastor Ryan, this morning as he brings God's word to us all?
Good morning. Thank you for being here, and get my notes open here. I wanna say before I start, my dad alluded it to it just a touch when he had asked me to minister this morning. I said, "Dad, you're the father of the house. Why don't you preach on Father's Day?" And he said, "No, you're gonna preach and." You're my son, and you're a dad, so you're going to do it. So what do you say to that? You get to work, right? I want to say before I get into what I believe the Lord has placed on my heart to share with you that I am extremely blessed as a young man to have a natural father that has been by my side and a constant support, not only to me and my family, but to the ministry here. Many men and young women in this place, he has been a father to. Some that are not here, some that don't attend this church any longer, some that do. I have the distinct opportunity all morning this morning to honor him and to express my love and appreciation to him and to many others this morning, as you'll see as I minister. But I want to give you an opportunity. There have been men and women in this church that would not be married today. They would not have children today. Their families would not be intact today. They wouldn't have the stability that they have. They wouldn't have the roots down deep that they have if it wasn't for the father of this place, the pastor of this house. And I want to give you an opportunity. I get the opportunity for the next few minutes, but I want to give you an opportunity before I move on this morning. If you'd like to stand and honor my dad, if he's been an impact in your life, why don't you do that right now and give him a hand? Amen. It's important to honor one another, isn't it? My father has exposed me to many great men. It's an interesting dichotomy. As a father, we tend to take some sort of ownership of our children. And rightfully so, they're our children. But my dad is in the house of the Lord, has brought me into the house of the Lord, even as a very young man, and exposed me to great men in the house of the Lord. Men that have poured into me. I met my wife here in the church. My father-in-law poured into my life in wonderful ways. And many men around the body here have blessed me immensely, built me up, spoke into my life, and carried me through seasons where I didn't know if I'd make it. Moments where my heart was broke. Moments where I was crushed. I was broken. And I not only needed a natural father to love me, but I needed men like you to come alongside of me, grab my hand and say, "Hey, boy, it's going to be okay." So this morning, I not only honor my natural fathers, but I honor the men of this house, the men that could have left but stayed, the men that could have been hurt and ran, the men that had every reason to leave, but they stayed anyhow because they're great fathers. They're great men of God. And so this morning, this young boy honors all the men of this house that make an impact not only on countless young men around this room, but on my life in particular. And I just want to say thank you this morning. Give the dads a big hand. And lastly, but certainly not least, a natural father is so important. Natural fathers, people who pour into your life face to face, hand to hand, hug to hug, shoulder to shoulder. But the scripture says, as my dad just shared, that he is a defender of the weak, our heavenly Father. I think through my life, 36 years of just growing up, going through things, you know, being scarred, being hurt. People hurt you. Circumstances bite you. I think of our Heavenly Father. And the older I get, the more thankful to God I am for His mercy and His kindness. Not only over my life, but over your life. The testimonies around this room. That if God had not intervened on our behalf, where would we be? Who would we be if it had not been for the grace of our Lord and Savior on our side? So this morning, Lord, before I say anything else, my heart is filled with gratitude to you this morning. My heart is so humbled by the grace that you've given us, the forgiveness of sin, forgiveness of pride and selfish ambition. God, we thank you for being in this place, in your holy temple this morning. Our prayer this morning is that you'd have your way in your house. Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit, like I have so many times, that you would minister in this place. You'd set the captives free, that you'd minister to the hurting and the broken, like I've seen you do countless of times. Have your way in this place. In Jesus' name, would you say amen? Amen. Now, get all messed up in here. I want to thank also the fathers that are fathering my sons. I forgot to mention them this morning. You're so important to me. My brother Ben, helping me father Ryan and Andrew. Ben Martin, been a wonderful voice into my sons' lives. Todd, cross it. Paul Amendola, Chuck Wood, of course, my father and my father-in-law. Thank you for being there for my kids. That's important to me. I want to give you a couple scriptures, or I'll be up here crying all morning. The Bible is full of scriptures that teaches us the importance of a father. Here's just a few. Proverbs 1:8, he says, "Hear, my son, your father's instructions, and forsake not your mother's teaching. Proverbs 23:22 says, listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she's old. I don't have to worry about that because my mom is real young. Amen. And it was her birthday yesterday. Give her a hand. Proverbs 23:24 says, the father of the righteous has great joy. A man who fathers a wise son rejoices in him. And lastly, Psalm 68:5 says, God in his holy house. You know where his house is? You're sitting in it. God in his holy house is a father to those who have no father. And I just want to stop there, say this to you. If you don't have a father, something very profound that I just read. God in his holy house is a father to those who have no father. You got to be in God's house. You have to be among his people. You have to be under the teaching of the word of the Lord. The scriptures are full of striking direction about how important a father is. But I want to share with you some statistics, social facts on the fatherless. 63% of teen suicides are of those with no father. 70% of juveniles in state institutions, of kids in state institutions, 70% of those individuals, no dad. 71% of high school dropouts, no father. 75% of children in chemical abuse centers have no dad. 80% of all rapists come from a home where there was no father present. 85% of all youths in prison, no dad in their lives. And catch this, 90% of the homeless population in this country are from fatherless homes. Striking, isn't it? Put that next one up, Paulie, if you would. It's a tough one to read, but I'm going to read them to you. 71% of all high school dropouts are from fatherless homes. Teenage repeat offender arsonists, 90% of them have no dad. 85% of all minors who grew up in the prison system have no dad. The percentage of adolescents in substance abuse treatment facilities, 75% no fathers. 63% of all youth suicides are of those in a fatherless home. The infant mortality rate, and this was striking to me, is 2 to 3 times higher in a home without a father. Children with no dad are 10 times more likely to abuse drugs and alcohol that have no father. And lastly, this was striking to me. Children are 4 to 5 times more likely to live in the poverty level if they have no father in the home. Do we all agree that fathers are important? You should say amen better than that. Fathers in the home are so important. But the question is, how do we solve the issue? How do we solve the issue? Well, we solve the issue by talking about it, first of all, and really bringing light to it. There's an old statement that I've heard my dad preach many times a family that prays together. We have to make up in our minds, Dad, that we're going to stay no matter what. The statistics show you that the enemy isn't after you in particular. He's after the seed of your family. Well, why do you say that, Ryan? Because look at the statistics in children where fathers are not present. He's not attacking you because of you. You're already who you are. The enemy is attacking the mind, the body, the soul, the spirit of a man, of a father, because he's trying to get to the seed of the father. How many married couples wouldn't be married without the body of Christ, without Jesus at the center of their lives? This morning, I don't share those statistics with you to discourage you or to make you feel bad if you're from a fatherless home or if maybe you left your home. You left being a that father figure in your home. I don't share it for that. I share it for this reason. I share it to let you know how important you are as a dad in your home. And maybe you've made some bad decisions. Maybe you've made some bad choices. Today is the day to turn from that. I'm going to give you two angles to look at this from this morning. Number one, the angle, if you're looking for a father, there are so many men this morning that as they begin to hear this, they say, man, I don't have a dad. Where does that leave me, Ryan? This is a well of fathers. How many of you men just would say, yeah, I would father someone who's not my natural son in the church? Look at the hands around here. We model it. This church models it of kids that their dad has left them or been estranged by some happening. But a man in the body of Christ steps in, steps up, and becomes that figure. I share it for that reason. The second reason, the second angle you can look at this from, do you want to improve in your fatherhood? I do. I want to be a better dad. I'm doing the best I know how to do, but I want to be better. I want to model what God has in mind. The scripture says that we're being changed in his likeness and in his image. That means I haven't arrived. And neither have you. So this morning, if you say I need a dad, look around. Look around in this. If you stick around long enough, if you connect with a connect group on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday, there's all kinds of men that want to be that. They want to be the light of Jesus in your life. In the second way, I want you to look at this. Is we can all do better. I want to share five things that my dad has done, and he never talked about it. It came to me yesterday in the New Testament. Jesus never talked about love. He really never taught on it. You look and see you. Well, you say, well, the Apostle Paul taught about it, but Jesus never talked about it. You know what he did? He lived it. He was love. He walked it out. I'm going to share with you five ways that my dad has walked it out. He didn't teach on it. He didn't talk about it too much. But I think we can draw from these five things. Are you with me? Number one, a father should be a protector. A father is protective. He's concerned about your well-being. You might not like it, but he says things like this. Where are you at? What are you doing? Who are you with? What time are you coming home? When do you plan on leaving there? Ryan, 36 years old. When are you going home? I'm thinking, what? He is protective. There is an inclination within a father to make sure you are safe because he protects what God gave him. The Bible says to give your children back to the Lord. You've heard that, haven't you? But how can you give back what you don't have? What you haven't protected? What you haven't cared for? There should be an inclination within a dad to say, I want to make sure you're okay. A father protects. I can't begin to tell you and to explain to you the amount of spiritual attacks of the enemy that my dad has faced over 30 years watching him in ministry. The countless times I've seen my dad quiet, knowing that something happened. What happened? What went on? A dad in his silence protects you. He's handling things that you'll never know about because he is protective. My dad never ran home and ran in the house and said, Ryan, this happened to me and that happened to me. It's so terrible. In his silence, he protected us. A man in the Bible is called the head over 100 times. This means he's covering you with his protection. When my father faces the wind and the storm, when you as a father face trials and tribulations and issues, the problem hits you first, and the weight of the issue is never felt by the family. A father protects. He keeps. He cherishes through his protection. You won't know the full measure of the wind until he's gone. When do you miss a father? When they're not there anymore. Am I saying it right? Elisha begot a father, a spiritual father, not a natural father, in Elijah. You know the story. All Elisha had to worry about, and I put in my notes, all he had to worry about is leading worship. That's not true. That's me. All he had to worry about, the scripture says, is washing the hands of his father. The scripture literally says it. He provided water to wash the hands of Elisha. All the miracles, all the signs, all the wonders, all the problems that Elijah had to take care of, Elijah never even knew about. He never felt the wind of the issue because Dad took care of it. He shut up the heavens causing the drought. God used him in a profound way. Multiplied the flour and the oil for the widow. Raised the widow's son up from the dead, laying on the son, breathing the Spirit of God back into him. I just preached about it a few weeks ago. He defeated the prophets of Baal with fire from heaven. He brought the rain and he communicated with God and he was submissive to God the Father and brought rain and ended the drought. He destroyed 51 soldiers with fire and lightning and parted the Jordan River. And Elisha didn't have to worry about a thing. He just followed him around and said, hey, you ready for some water, Dad? Not his natural dad, his spiritual father. You know that a spiritual father can have, at some points, more impact on a life than a natural father? That's why some of you are brokenhearted in here, because you lost your natural dad. But you need to realize that if you'll listen and you're open to it and you're willing, God will send you a spiritual father that'll help you walk through life. He'll teach you the small lessons and the big ones. He'll carry you from one side to the other. He'll make a way for you as he speaks to you from God himself. Elijah took care of it all. And all of a sudden in 2 Kings 3:11, Elijah's gone in a chariot of fire. You know the story. And Elisha is faced with the problem, but he doesn't have the protection anymore. See, when you got protection, you don't have to deal with the weight of the problem. The minute the protection is gone, someone needs to hear this morning. The house of the Lord, your pastors, the leaders that God has put in your life, they protect you by correcting you at times. I'm going to get to it in a second. I'm just going to let it sit there for a second. 2 Kings 3:11. Jehoshaphat asked, is there no prophet of the Lord here? Through whom we may inquire of the Lord? He says, where is Elijah at? Who do we go to now? And an officer of the king that paid attention said, Elisha, son of Shaphat, is here. He, listen to this, he used to pour on the water on the hands of Elijah. He didn't handle the problem. He just dumped the water on. But here's what the servant knew, the servant of the king knew. He said, oh, he's been following him around. He's been taking care of things, and he's been vacuuming and picking up the trash and taking care of things that nobody else wanted to take care of. He dumped the water on. He had enough humility to dump the water on the hands of Elijah. I bet you, I'm going to tell you something. He tells the king, I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Spirit is on him because he dumped the water on the hands. Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with Elisha. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Edom, went down to him. The kings went down to Elisha. Elisha said to the king of Israel, why do you want to involve me? Go get your own prophets, your father and the prophets of your mother. This is such a powerful story. The king of Israel answered, because it was the Lord who called us three kings together to deliver us from the hands of Moab. I could preach on this all day. Profound truths in this. Elisha answers back, as surely as the Lord Almighty lives whom I serve, if I didn't have respect for the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I wouldn't even pay attention to you. He said, I don't even like you people. I have respect for Jehoshaphat, so all right, I'll help you out. I don't feel so bad when I read that because I get that attitude once in a while. Elisha says, as surely as the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, I wouldn't pay attention to you, but bring me now the harpist. While the harpist was playing, the hand of the Lord came on Elijah, and he said, this is what the Lord says, and you know the story. I will fill this valley with pools of water. The minute Elijah went up in the chariot of fire, Elijah had to handle issues and problems in the kingdom that Elijah had taken care of on his own. And he said these words, I've got to see if the God of my father, you know the scripture, will bring me through like he brought my father through. Elijah took care of the problem. He took care of the issue. He handled all the stress and the worry. And the moment he was gone, Elijah said, oh, dear God, you got to help me. You got to bring me through. He remembered when Elijah went to God himself and said, I don't know how to take care of this. Instead of Elijah looking to Elijah, he begins to look at God the Father and say, you got to get me through this. There are people in this room, you don't know the full way until the dad's gone. There's not a person within the sound of my voice that couldn't do a better job honoring the fathers that have been placed in their lives. My father never complains. He deals with it. Sam and I have these discussions at times. My boys will go through things. And I'll say things like this. Let them cry. Let them sit there and cry. Leave them alone. Why am I doing that? Because I'm preparing them for later on in life where mama's not there to kiss it all goodbye. Mama's not there to handle it. And we have sons and daughters today that moms have cared so much and nurtured so much. The dad's been gone. That are looking for people to kiss it all away. And it ain't coming, baby. When you get older, no one's coming to kiss it all goodbye when daddy's gone. My father has modeled protection. Even when we did wrong, oh, I wish a dad would hear it. You don't attack your kid when they do wrong. You protect them when they do wrong. Your protection and correction come together. I was in the seventh grade. This teacher, I was in the classroom. This teacher said, "You're an idiot. You'll never amount to anything." I got right up in the classroom. I walked out the door, and I walked down. You know where Bergen High School is. I walked right down that road, North Bergen Road, I think it's called. I got 5 miles down the road. Principal called my dad. My dad said, "I'll be right there." He said, "My kid's in trouble." He said, "My kid's got an issue. I'll be right there." And he headed from Transit Road in Buffalo all the way to Bergen, New York. In my protection, he pulled over on the side of the road, tears running down my face. And he said, "Get in my car, boy. We're going back down to that school." And he marched in that school like he was in the military. Who talked to my boy that way? Who said those words? And the woman, I remember like it was yesterday, she said, "I said that." And he said, "Don't you ever talk to my child like that again." Protection. We pulled out of the school. He protected me. Then you know what he did? He corrected me because I tortured that teacher. Amen. One more story of protection. I was probably 10 years old, wherever Andrew's hiding out. I was skipping church. My dad was a pastor. I was outside skipping church. Godly PK, you know what I mean? And this man came walking up to me. He says, "Hey, you want to check out my car? Service is going on. You want to check out my car?" "Yeah, I'll check out your car. Why don't you jump in? Why don't you take a ride?" I was in the car. Listen to this. I was in the car pulling out of the parking lot, and I saw, as many of you know, Ron, he runs a lot. Ron Cervone, he moves real fast. He comes running to the car, and he said, "Boy, get out of this car and get back in the church." I said, "You ain't my dad, man." And I went back in the church, and some 20 years later, I found out that man was a level 3 sex offender. He protected me, and he corrected me. He wasn't my natural father, but he was a father that God had placed in my life, and it's still in my life. Look at him back there. Can't get rid of them. Fathers protect, say amen. Number 2, a father should be a provider. I said this in the first service. My father's taught us how to provide. He's taught us how to work. He's taught us how to feed our families, provide. He's taught us how to serve the house of the Lord. But more importantly than providing money, income, to the house. You know what my father's taught us how to provide? Listen to this. My father has been a constant source of friendship. My father has been a constant source of camaraderie. My father has taught us to provide friendship, to provide things that you can't buy with money. My father has taught and modeled how to be a husband. He's provided things that money can't buy. There's been a turn in our family from where my dad was the main source of providing substance, and all of a sudden, his boys begin to provide more substance. But he taught us how to create it. He taught us how to walk in God's blessing in a profound way. There's people that hate on me and my brothers all the time. Don't hate on it. Learn from it. My father taught us how to walk in God's blessing. How to prosper even as our soul prospered. My father provided things at this church that money can't buy. And some of you don't recognize it. Some of you don't see it. I've had trouble at times seeing it. Leadership. Wisdom. Experience that you can't buy. As I work for the church, I paid very little. I don't say that to complain. I say that to tell you this. There are better gigs for me. There are better jobs for me. You have something that I can't buy or find anywhere else. You have my father. He says things like this to me, Ryan, when that happened to me, when that went on with me, 20 years ago, Ryan, that happened, and this is how I handled it. Interesting to go a little further. My father has taught our entire family how to provide. My mother serves here, never been paid. She provides for the house of the Lord. My brother Garrett leads worship here. My sister-in-law Amanda lead worship here. Never been paid. Serve, give, provide for the house of the Lord. Never been paid. My wife cares for the children, serves the children of this church. Never been paid. Here's why. Because we know as we serve God's house, and it's been modeled, we don't need you to provide for us. Our God in heaven provides for us. We walk in the blessing of the Lord. That's why the haters don't bother me. The people that lie and spread lies in God, they don't bother me. Because I know that the McDonald family are providers. They're not takers. Amen. And if you're going to be a father, the father that God's called you to be, you're going to learn to provide. Can you say amen this morning? Amen. Number three. My brother Ben models this so well. If you're going to be a great father, you're going to be a promoter. Do you want an empty life, Dad? Use everything that you have and have been given by God to benefit yourself. It's not about what I can get. It's about how I make my sons look. There are fathers in here and listening to my voice. You are empty, and here's why. It's all about you, boo. Everything that you have, everything that you've been given, you consume unto yourself and you live an empty life. Do you know why my father asked me to preach this morning? Not because he wants, I don't know how many shots of espresso, three shots, whatever it is. Not because he wants to drink coffee and chill. He says a little bit. But because he wants to promote me. He wants to move me along. John Tosher, I thought of you. This week as I wrote this sermon, as a promoter, you didn't need to retire. You've got tons of experience and wisdom and tread left on your life. Here's why you retired. Because you're a promoter to your son. Oh, I know it. I see it. If you're going to be a great dad, if you're going to walk, In the gift of fatherhood, you're going to learn how to promote your kids. Here's why the enemy is trying to destroy your life. Because he wants your seed. You are being attacked to try to abort God's plan for your children. You have to make up in your mind, I'm not leaving. And in Matthew 17, the transfiguration happens. Jesus has this amazing moment. Moses and Elisha appear. Peter is standing there. And God the Father says this, "Behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, 'This is my beloved son.'" He appears to them. He doesn't take the moment for himself. He doesn't consume. God the Father in heaven doesn't consume the moment for himself. He says, "This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased." Do you know the rest? Listen to him. God the Father models promoting his son, and so should you. Number four, you should be a priest. I'm going to blast through this one. Genesis 18:18 says this. Noah came out together with his sons and his wives and his sons' wives. And all the animals, all the creatures. The first thing that Noah does after the flood, you know what he does? He builds an altar to the Lord because he is a priest. If you're going to be a dad, you're going to learn how to pray. Here's why. You can't handle all that life throws at you. My dad has said this to me. I felt this pressure the last 3 years. Pressure after pressure after pressure. He says to me things like this. Just give it to the Lord in prayer. If you're going to be a great dad, you're going to be a priest in your home. You're going to teach your kids through prayer to give all the issues. I'm going to say something I didn't say in the first service. Do you know why you, Dad, you keep going back to that little thing? That magazine, that bottle, that bag, that old thing that you say you don't want to run back to because you can't handle the weight of life on your own. You're not giving the weight of that issue back to God. You got to be a priest. Your sin's not keeping you from your best life as a father. Many men think that. Oh, I did this wrong. I did that wrong. That's why I'm not seeing God's best. Let me say this to you. It's not your sin. It's your lack of prayer that is keeping you from God's best for your life. And number five, you got to be a prophet. And I'm done. Listen to this. Rachel and Jacob go to have a son. Rachel dies on the birth table. You know the story. She names her son Benoni, which means son of my sorrow. She pronounces sorrow over her son for the rest of his life. And here comes Jacob into the birthing room. And he loved his wife. He was brokenhearted that she had died. And he says, "Oh no, he will not be called Benoni, but he will be called Benjamin. Son of my right hand." There is men after man, after boy, after child, after daughter in this country and in our culture that have never had a man, a father, speak over their life and create, through their prophecy, the destiny in their child. A father has to be a prophet. He has to say things like this, "Ryan, you are a great young man that I believe in. God's hand is on your life. In such a special way. I see in the Spirit God doing things in and through you that you never thought possible. Every dream in your life will come true. And God will do the impossible through you." There are men that are brokenhearted all over this country because they've never had a dad prophesy over them. We're going to break that in this house, so Every time I get up here, every time you see me, every time you hear me, I want to walk by you. You're a great man of God. I'm not speaking to circumstance. You might be a knucklehead right now. You might be a total bonehead, and I know it. I know what you're up to, but I'm going to speak to your future, not to your circumstance. You ready for this? I forgot this in the first service. You ready for this? Jacob speaks over Benjamin. You read the scripture for yourself. All the kings of Israel come out of him. King after king after king after king. You know why? Because one father spoke legacy over his life. You will not be what your circumstance is. You will not be what those people said you are. You will not be what your past is. You will be what God has called you and created you to be. The old is gone, and behold, all things are new. If you receive this, lift your hand in the house. Father, make us a church that fathers a fatherless generation. God, let us change the statistics and the percentages, Father. Let us be a light to this city on Tuesday nights. Let your sons and daughters walk into that facility and find the love of Jesus in that place. Hallelujah. Thank you for it. Send us the fatherless. Send us the motherless. Send us the hurting. Send us the broken, and give us the strength to father and mother them the way you've called us to. We love you this morning. We love you, Father. Be honored. Be glorified in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, would you say amen? Come on, give the Lord a hand. My dad's going to come up and say goodbye to you. Would you give him one more hand this morning?
Thank you. Beautiful, beautiful day. I want to speak to every dad. I want to speak to every young man. Sarah, hold just a moment, because I want everybody to hear me say this. You need that voice into your life. You need to hear that from a man. Don't ever turn that away. Listen. Hear it. Receive it today. God is for you. I want to pray for you. For some of you, you've never given your life to Jesus. You need to do that. Some may be here today. You may say, well, I've been to church all my life. That doesn't matter. You need to give your life to Christ. Some of you watching at home, never given your life to Jesus. He wants to come into your life. Just close your eyes in the house. Those of you that are watching, say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you. Forgive me of my failures, all my faults. I ask you to be my Savior and my Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Now I want to speak to you today. I want to speak to every individual, not only fathers, not only young men. I want to speak to moms. I want to speak to daughters as well. God is for you. He's not against you. God has good things for you, every single one of you. Listen to me now. Don't get distracted. He is going to transform you. He is going to do great things for you. He is going to invade your present to change your future. That's the God that we serve. Love him with all of your heart. Serve him with passion and with purpose, and watch him change your circumstances. I love you. Hasn't it been great to be in the house of God together? And also for all of you that are home watching, go in his grace. Dads, remember that the coffee truck is still out front. Every dad, you get a free drink. And if you're not a dad, stop by there. Man, I just had one of those coffees, a regular black coffee with three shots of espresso. I'm telling you, I'm ready to take on not only the world, but the worlds. I love you. Go in His grace. God bless you all. Dads, we love you and honor you today.